Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We begin with the lack of clarity on the Korean Peninsula today. Mysterious and disturbing provocations from North Korea gained a possible new twist. North Korea announced it would restart all of its nuclear facilities to expand the availability of plutonium and enriched uranium for what it says is a growing nuclear arsenal. This announcement follows tough talk from South Korea, warning of a quick, strong response to any military moves by the North. The White House says it is alarmed by the latest sustained North Korean episode of bellicose rhetoric, but the Obama administration says it sees no North Korean troop movements that might indicate some mobilization is underway. In the past 2 days, though, North Korea has said its nuclear weapons were not a bargaining chip in any discussions with the West, and has revealed that Pyongyang might have a working uranium enrichment facility about which little is known. Joining us now is Dr. Sung-Yung Lee, professor in Korean studies and an assistant professor at Tufts University's Fletcher School. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us from Seoul in South Korea is assistant professor at Yonsei University, John DeLury. John, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
What are folks in the South making of this possible twist that North Korea is claiming a uranium enrichment facility that we really didn't know much about until this announcement?
Well, it's a twist and it's not a twist. I mean, the last non-North Korean to visit the site, the nuclear site, Yeonbyung, that's at play here, was in 2010, and the North Koreans showed him, Dr. Sig Hecker of Stanford University, a physicist, you know, showed him their uranium facilities, which he described as, quote, ultra-modern, and no one's really been back in there since then. So now what the North Koreans are saying is it's full steam ahead, and they're restarting everything, including the plutonium program, which so far as we know has been sort of stalled for a while, plus whatever's going on with their uranium program.
So, Dr. Sung-Yung Lee, does the prospect of a dual pipeline of nuclear material, uranium and plutonium, change anything in your view?
Well, that's been the assumption of the United States and South Korea over the past several years. This is another step in North Korea's ladder of graduated escalation. The objective here is to put as much psychological pressure on Seoul and Washington to respond. And response in the past has always meant going back to talks with North Korea with bigger concessions in tow. The past month, North Korea has been on a bluster barrage, which is unusual even by North Korean standards. So I think there's a good chance that North Korea will follow through with some kind of deadly but nonetheless limited and controlled attack.
So you think an attack is actually imminent? Let's put that to John DeLury.
No, well, we don't know. There's a risk. I think the risk is decreasing. I think there's been a bit of a shift over the weekend when North Korea announced this new so-called strategic line where they said they're pressing forward with their nuclear program, and they also emphasized that they're pressing forward with their what they call economic construction, what we would call economic development. So I think in the North Korean scheme of things, that's a shift away from this sort of war footing that they've been on. I think the odds of a localized conflict, it's certainly still there. I agree with Dr. Lee, but I think the probability is actually declining. But we're still left with the same fundamental problems about their nuclear program.
Dr. Lee, I didn't mean to put words in your mouth. Perhaps you didn't mean that an attack was imminent, but do you feel that there is a way for the North Koreans to back down after this sustained period of rhetoric?
Well, if we assume the North Korean regime to be rational, conventionally speaking, we would assume North Korea to back down at this moment. But I think North Korea is rational in a very different way. It really goes beyond our norms of rationality. To North Korea, threatening South Korea and the U.S., causing headaches for those two adversaries is a very rational act. It's proven to be quite effective over the past six decades since the end of the Korean War, thereby launching some kind of deadly attack, perhaps at the risk of massive retaliation that might lead to the death of hundreds of North Korean soldiers, is actually an action that may pay off. So therefore, it may be a rational act for the North Korean regime.
To both of you, what have you made of the response so far of the South Korean leadership? This is certainly a test of the new leadership in Seoul. John?
Yeah, it is a test. The difficulty here is that the newly elected president, Park Geun-hye, is really struggling domestically. She's had a series of gaffes, just appointing her cabinet. So there's been, you know, amidst all of this crisis with North Korea, there's a domestic political story where she's really trying to find her footing. And that's very bad timing for whatever she wants to do. So in the South, most of us are still waiting to see, you know, what is the response going to be? She campaigned on a promise of trying to reengage somehow the North, even though she's a conservative. And so the question is she going to try to work toward that? She sent some signals she will. Or is she going to respond to these early provocations and threats, though so far mostly words rather than deeds from North Korea, and shift to a hardline conservative position? We still can't tell, really.
That's John Delury, assistant professor at Yonsei University in Seoul, South Korea. Dr. Sun-Yung Lee, let's leave it on this point here. John Delury suggests that there's a domestic political crisis right now that's complicating matters for the South Korean leadership. Do you think the North senses weakness here, and that may explain why this has been so prolonged?
The North Koreans are very good at exploiting perceived weaknesses in their adversaries. They really seized upon America's distraction or weakness in the late 1960s, throughout 1968 and 69, when the war in Vietnam turned a corner for the worse, politically speaking, for the U.S. They came out swinging. They killed 36 Americans, you know, kept in captivity 82 sailors, U.S. sailors, for 11 months, launched deadly attacks against South Korea. And we saw a repeat of that pattern in 2006, 2007, when North Korea really raised the stakes by going through with its first ever nuclear test when the Bush administration was struggling in the war in Iraq and so forth. Now is a particularly appeasement-prone time in North Korea's calculation because we've had leadership transition in all the major capitals of the North Pacific, and that means no one wants a foreign policy crisis created by North Korea, and they may be prone to going back to negotiations and rewarding North Korea.
Dr. Sun-Yung Lee is professor in Korean studies and an assistant professor at Tufts University's Fletcher School. Thanks so much, doctor.
Thank you.
We also spoke with John Delury, assistant professor at Yonsei University in Seoul, South Korea. Thanks as always, John.
Thanks, John.